fun. Fast talk.
Yay!
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, I got to check something else here.
Are we on? Oh, we're on.
We're on. Okay. We're on there.
I'm getting calls and everything. This is Mike with you from, we're on 1,000 Mics. We're on Blog Talk Radio using the call-in board and audio from there. And we have Ron with us from
Hello.
Florida Estates Winery. Let me get the crowd in here.
Hello, bus people. Hello.
Wait. Oh, that was the wrong bus people. They're laughing.
They're laughing.
That's not very good. Okay, let's go ahead
They're
and run the...
They're drinking already.
I guess so. We have the intro, which will play for about a minute and a half, and we'll be right back with All About Wine every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We are live, and we'll give you the phone number. Actually, the phone number's in this, and you'll hear it coming up right now. Thank you.
Welcome to All About Wine on
yes.
Blog Talk Radio, a weekly call-in talk show presented each Thursday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern, featuring Ron with Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. We encourage listeners to call and participate during this hour-long broadcast. Dial 646-727-3235, 646-727-3235, anytime during the show. Winery location, contact information, and upcoming events are presented at the end of the show. Sit back, relax, and join us with a glass of world-class wine made right here in Florida. And now, vineyardist, tasting expert, cellar master, and winemaker with Florida Estates Winery, here's Ron.
There we are.
Hi. Thank you.
The group today has come to us from, I don't remember.
Oh.
No. They're on a bus, but they just unloaded the bus, took their little folding chairs with them, and they are out on the lawn. And it's
must have been drinking on the bus. They're already happy, I can hear.
Yes. And they have some great weather this evening for. It is warm. It is, 120 or something outside, but it is warm. And a big difference to our major cold front that came through, what was it, last week?
Yes. They dropped down. No, week before last. We were off the air last week.
That's right. Week before last, we had a major cold front whip through here. It was coat weather. I think it was like 68 for the low.
Right. Yeah.
And it was just absolutely chilly. There was frost on the car. It was unbelievable with those 60-degree weather.
I think they got some sniffles from it, too. I mean, the change, so.
Okay.
It's dug up along. It's back up to where we... Why we live in Florida, so.
Well, why some people live in Florida. why they come down here. And, speaking of come down here, you had a few visitors over at the winery. I was reading your Facebook thing, and you had, where was that? I need to go back to your Facebook. I guess you can go ahead and start, and I'll look it up. But you had quite a few visitors you were talking about on Facebook.
We have been getting people, out-of-state visitors, for some reason. September was a very, very slow month, but October starting out with some travelers. We're getting some people from out-of-state. We've got New York and some people from the Caribbean.
Wow. Right.
Puerto Rico, had somebody from Puerto Rico, and in fact, I had a girl stop by and bring me a bottle of Puerto Rican wine.
Wow.
Which was quite interesting.
Yeah.
And so, we've been getting some people from spread out all over the place. And while we're on the subject of the winery, too, we have a wedding coming up this Saturday out at the winery.
Mm.
Danielle and William, actually, William goes by Bill, or Billy, but... Thank you. I'm sure they appreciate it. He goes by Bill or Billy, but I figure since he's going to be a married man, he needs to go by William now. So
of course.
calling William. Wedding Saturday out there, so we're excited about that.
Wow.
It's always nice to see that. We're looking at 120 guests, I believe they're saying, that's going to be out there. So.
Oh, my goodness. That's a good crowd.
That's a good crowd. So yeah. That'll be a lot of fun. And then they go to... local country club, actually Seven Springs Golf and Country Club, for the reception. So, we're looking forward to that.
Very cool. And if you just a reminder, if you want to get on the program, I'll give you the phone number again. It is area code 646-727-3235. 646-727-3235. Or you can chat with us. I'm not using the Blog Talk Radio chat screen because it's kind of confusing for people who are not registered. If you go to 1000mikes.com, you have to type 1000mikes, M-I-K-E-S.com, and you'll see us on there. It'll say All About Wine. You click on that, and there's a player that comes up, and there's a screen down there that says you click on comments, little tab, click on comments, and below that you can type in a comment as long as we're live, and it'll show up as guest, and you don't have to register or anything, and I think that's a lot easier. And we had like 35 comments last time, so that was really cool during the 2 weeks ago. So that was good. Yeah, so chat with us on there, and if you have a question, we'll be more than happy to sound it on the air for you and have Ron answer, or you can call us all the time during the show at that phone number that I gave you. And tonight's topic is Rhone Valley.
The Rhone Valley of France. We've been talking about France, so we're going to continue with the Rhone Valley tonight.
Okay.
Yeah,
here we go. After all the announcements.
all of our talking and chit-chat here and all that.
All right.
1,000. I just went on 1,000 mics so I can join you in your thing here. Again, talk us through it again. 1,000 mics, and from there we go to.
Let me go to the main page too, because it's kind of, because I'm already on the other page. We go to 1000mikes.com. You see the. You go down a little ways, and it says Mike WCFL All About Wine. See that about three links down, I guess? Three live on air. From the top, it says Radio 2.0, and then you have Live on Air, and then you have like three shows that are showing on right now.
If any of you are looking for that, you might have to click. It only showed three on mine. You might have to click it open and get the other two. So.
I don't know. Maybe it's a screen deal, but you go from 1000mikes.com. You'll see in the center part, it'll say Radio 2.0 in big letters. And then down just below that, it'll say Live on Air. And then there's one that says Radio Mexico Para Cristo something, thefunaddict.com. And then we're just below that, and we're live. And you can click on Mike, the little link there. It says Mike WCFL. Click on that, and that loads our page.
I'm on it there. Okay, very good. Yes. So if anybody wants to get on there, we are there, and Mike or I can respond to you here. You
click on that little comment button. That'll open the comment box, and you can type in your comment, I think. Uh-huh. Yeah. It worked last week or 2 weeks
ago. It worked last week. It should work this week. So I think you're good to go. So let's continue on. Let's go, since it's been a couple of weeks, let me go back and cover a couple of things here, what we've already talked about briefly. Start talking about France. We've been on France. I think this is, what, our fourth session on France?
Oh, yeah.
Big country. A lot of wine made in France. So we have a lot of stuff to talk about France. We've been breaking it down to different regions and different areas and different parts of France. We started out with the Bordeaux region, left bank and right bank of the Bordeaux. Left bank, actually, when you look at a map, of the Bordeaux region, left bank is on the left-hand side of the river, and the right bank being on the right-hand side of the river, which makes it easy to understand that way. The left bank and right banks are well-known, the left bank being the larger of the two, substantially larger of the two, and growing quite a bit of grapes. These are some high-quality grapes, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Petit Verdot and Malbec for the reds, and Sauvignon Blanc and Sauvignon for the white. Mostly through the region, this is what you're going to find one type or another of those grapes in the Bordeaux region. And on the left bank, when you get over to the right bank, basically the same thing. Merlot dominates more so than the Cab, Cabernet Sauvignon, with Cabernet Franc being the second most planted. We talked about Burgundy, probably the most well-known known wine growing region of the world. Burgundy is located in the center, well, actually the east center part of the country, of France, south of the Champagne region and south of Paris. It is noted for their heavy reds. The Burgundy region is probably one of the most established regions in the world for the heavy, intense red wines. A lot of softer ones are coming out of there, but the big full-bodied reds are probably noted more than anything. Chablis region is included in the Burgundy region, although the Chablis region is quite a ways north and west of the Burgundy region. This is the premier Chardonnay region of the world. Whenever you speak of a Chablis, you are talking about a Chardonnay grape. Burgundy and Chablis, I want to hit on this lightly, also on the fact that when you talk about Burgundy, a lot of people in the United States here speak of a Burgundy wine. A Burgundy wine is from the Burgundy region of France, being a Pinot Noir grape primarily, or blends of Pinot Noir. When you get a Burgundy here in the States, it is a generic term, simply meaning that it is a soft red wine, a lighter style red wine, not usually not made real heavy, usually not real powerful. Just a generic term for red wine. Same thing with Chablis. True Chablis, coming from the Chablis region of France, simply means that it is a Chardonnay grape that's used in that. And that is, when you speak of a French Chablis, it is a Chardonnay. But here in the States, a Chablis is a generic term we use to describe a white wine. So to clarify that for any of you out there listening who might wonder about the Chablis and the Burgundy names that we use here. Beaujolais, coming from the Burgundy region, southern part of the Burgundy region. Beaujolais, probably most well known for the Beaujolais Nouveau wine that is released every November, which should be coming up in about a month and a half here. November was 17th, I'm not exactly sure what date it is. It's right around the middle of the month. Fruity young wine that is just put together to be released and to be drank soon. And it's great. The world looks forward to the Beaujolais Nouveau. Beaujolais Nouveau simply meaning a new Beaujolais, young Beaujolais. And it's a light, fruity, red-style wine. So that's a little background on what we've been talking about over the last 3 or 4 weeks of France. Now we're going into the Rhone Valley. Rhone Valley is probably one of the oldest established wine-growing regions in France. It can be traced back to Greek colonization over 600 years before the Romans. An old area, an old established area that has been around and growing grapes forever. And because of that, they have established themselves quite a reputation as a good, solid, good drinking wine. It's the Rhone Valley runs, starts in the Alps, just off Rhone River, I'm sorry, the Rhone River starts in the Alps, just south of Luzerne in Switzerland, and flows down into Lake Geneva in France, and then from there it flows southward through the vineyards of Sauvay, and then joins the Saône River at Lyons, and for the last 400 kilometers flows on into the Mediterranean Sea, which is west of Marseille. The last stretch of this is where really most of the vineyards are. This is the biggest area of vineyards in the southern 400 kilometers of the river, the valley, if you will. The Rhone Valley produces primarily red and rosé. The very little white. In fact, the 97-98% of all wines produced in the Rhone Valley are red or rosés. So whenever you speak of the Rhone Valley, most of the time it's going to be a red wine. The Rhone Valley is split into two regions, the Northern Rhone and the Southern Rhone. The Northern Rhone being a little bit smaller, not as well planted, and not as many grapes, actually. It's a little bit smaller. There's two or three areas in the Northern Rhone that are noted, but most of the wines in the Rhone Valley are from the Southern Rhone. Northern Rhone accounts for only about 5-6% of all grapes planted in the Rhone Valley. The Northern Rhone area is on the Rhone through some very steep hillsides where most of the grapes are planted. They have six major appellations or areas in the Northern Rhone, Hermitage and the Crozet-Hermitage. Crozet-Hermitage is the two main ones, only major appellations, and they're both situated on the eastern bank of the Rhone. And then there is a few of them on the western bank of the Rhone. The ones on the western bank, the Cote Rote and the Condru and Saint Joseph and Connars Cornas, I believe is pronounced, all set on the western bank, with the Cote Rote and the Cornas making only red wines. And the Condru makes only white wines. So it's rather specialized in these different vineyards in different areas. When you get on the right bank, all Hermitage, St. Joseph, and Crozet-Hermitage all make both red and white wine, but majority reds. I mean, whenever you talk about the Rhone Valley, again, you're back to majority of the wines being red wines. The Rhone Valley, Northern Rhone, is planted on some steep hillsides. The soil is very rough, gravelly, granite soil. The grapes all fight for existence, which in the most people, most growers think that if a grape is struggling and fighting, it does create a better fruit and a better better tasting fruit. And then again, we go back to the French and the terroir, which is the interaction of the grape with the climate, weather, soil, everything that's involved with it. So being on the hillsides of the in the Northern Rhone do make for special fruit. The Syrah grape is your primary grape in this region. Usually a fruity, easy drinking style found in most of the region, although you get to Hermitage and Cote Rote, and it is more of a full-bodied, robust red. Because of the gravelly spiciness that you get from the granite, gives you a little bit more of a an acidic, fruity grape. Hillsides, steep hillsides and all that make for a much stronger grape. The acid in the wines from particularly the Hermitage and Crozet-Hermitage and St. Joseph regions are because of the soils and all this. Now, this separates the Syrah from the Syrahs in Australia. A lot of people are familiar with Australian Syrah, especially here in the United States now. A lot of people come in and pronounce the Syrah with a Z. Syrah, the old Syrah grape, is spelled S-Y-R-A-H. This is the one that's been around for ages in France and some plantings in the United States and all over the world. Australia got it. They spelled it a little bit different, S-H-I-R-A-Z, and came out with a lighter, fruitier, spicy type, very fruit-driven wines in the Australian Syrahs. It is the same grape, but again, because of where it's planted, how it's grown, and how it's made, they tend to go for a lighter, fruitier style. as opposed to the Syrah you will find in the Northern Rhone, which is, like I said earlier, a very acidic, pronounced acid, lots of fruit, earthiness. Tannins aren't real strong, but they are there, and not so much as the instant dry tannin, but a little bit of a sweeter style of those tannins that come out. The Côte Rôtie are in the Cornas region is the northern part of the Northern Rhone. Is the grapes there are again Syrah the primary grape, and this is basically what they make there is this raw no white at all are coming out of those two regions, and because of the area they are on, because of the type soil. They usually come out with a very very aromatic grape and very aromatic wine, a lot of raspberry, currant, pepper, spiciness. Usually a lot of tannins that can be drank young if you like to handle the tannins, but capable of aging for a lot of years. And these are good buys, too, for those of you out there looking for good buy on French. The Rhone Valley itself has got some excellent buys coming out of there. Not as well known as you will find in the Burgundy or Bordeaux regions, but yet some very interesting and very appealing grapes. You're not getting the Cabernets and Merlots that you get in the Burgundy and the Beaujolais regions. You are getting Syrah, but the Syrah is a wonderful grape with a lot of flavors and tastes and all that. The Hermitage, that's spelled H-E-R-M-I-T-A-G-E. Hermitage region is a little bit further south of the Côte Rôtie in the Cornas. It is on the right bank, a very, very small area. It grows Syrah grapes. The area is only about 300 acres. Which, if you've ever been out to the winery, the entire land that we sit on is 3,600 acres. So you can fit a lot of the little Hermitage regions into just the area that we have out there. It just gives you an idea of how small it is. One of the fields alone that we have is over 300 acres. That's set across the street from our across the road from the winery is over 300 acres. So a very small growing area, very, very tiny. But they grow the Syrah there, and that's it. And it is a wonderful Syrah. I've had Hermitage before. It's just a great wine. A lot of berry, blackberry, raspberry, currant, pepperiness. This is the style of Syrah that I've always come to appreciate and expect. California makes their style a lot like this too when they were making a lot of Syrah. When Australia came out with their Syrah, I was surprised, not disappointed, but surprised in the style that they came up with and the way that they were making their Syrah, because it's nothing like I've ever tasted before, ever gotten used to. It was a purely fruit-driven style as opposed to these, a light fruit, a soft fruit, as opposed to these heavy raspberry, black currant type fruit that you find in a lot of these other French Syrahs or Syrahs. Again, the Hermitage is capable of aging for many, many years. It's good young, but it's got the capabilities and the tannins to be able to put away and get quite a few years aging out of it. And when I say quite a few years, I'm talking over 10, 12, sometimes even 15. Another region of the Northern Rhone, the Crozes Hermitage and the Saint-Joseph. Again, Syrah-based reds in these areas. The wines, full-flavored raspberry, currant, spiciness. Again, this seems to be the general theme for most of the wines you're finding in the Northern Rhone there. It is Right, actually, the Crows d'Hermitage in St. Joseph surround the Hermitage region, but their wines aren't quite as tannic, aren't quite as heavy, as a lot of people like to point out, as the ones in the Hermitage. They soften them, they're a little bit lighter style. They can age, but really not as much. They're more of a drink now and enjoy it now type wine. All of these wines, I'm saying, lamb, game, veal, just a lot of yak. I read an article the other day of exotic meats, and yak was brought up for the Rhone Valley. So it's but a lot of these are very easy drinking wines that that go well with a lot of the game and stuff like that. Southern Rhone, it is well, like the Northern Rhone areas. It's except that the much larger areas. Southern Rhone Syrah grape is the predominant grape again, and it but it's also not just so much the Syrah. In France, I have to point out too, if a wine is labeled a Syrah, or if it's labeled a Cabernet Sauvignon, or if it's labeled a Merlot, or if it's labeled a Chardonnay, by French law, that has to contain 100% of that grape. So if you're looking, that's why most French wines are not labeled a varietal, simply because most of them are blends. France does an awful lot of blending to come up with what they want and what they're trying to achieve. And seldom do you find French wines that are 100% varietal. So that's why seldom will you find a French wine that will be called a varietal wine. It, most of the time it will show an area or a region or an appellation or something else, which will give you an idea of what is coming from that area, the grapes in that area. The Southern Rhone, Grenache, like I say, is a predominant grape, but a lot of other grapes are planted and used in the Southern Rhone area, including the Malverde, Cinsault, Carignan, each of them with their own distinct flavors and own distinct taste. And for blends and for unique flavors and taste, these grapes also are used to make rosés. Again, as a blend, not all rosés are one grape. I think the rosé style that most people in this country anyway are familiar with is the white Zinfandel, which is basically a rosé style wine, and it is made with a single grape. The red Zinfandel grape is thrown in the crusher, and the juice is left in contact with the skin just long enough to change the color to pink it up a little bit, and then they pull the skin off. Most rosés tend to be blends. Rosés or blush wines tend to be blends, blends of different grapes. And again, they could be made the same way with a little bit of pink left in it from the separate grapes and blend together, or using a little bit more of the red of one to pink it down for the others and just using the juice. So there's lots of ways to end up with your rosés or your rosé type wines or your blush type wines. In the Southern Rhone, major white wines used in this area is the Marsan, the Roussan, Voynet, and Grenache Blanc, or the white Grenache. There's eight appellations in the Southern Rhone area. Each has their own distinct style. Each has their own distinct characteristics. And because of this, each one will give you different different types of flavors and taste. The Southern Rhone actually produces probably, like I said earlier, over 90. About 95% of all wines produced in the Rhone area. Northern Rhone is not a large area, so the Southern Rhone is the largest. The Grenache grape is probably the most predominant red grape in the South. If they prune it a lot. They cut down the Grenache grape is very prolific. It can grow a lot of fruit. If left unchecked, the thing will go wild and produce lots of fruit. As growers, we try to cut back on the yield of a fruit, of a vine. Some grape vines will all be very prolific and pop out a whole bunch of grapes. We measure grapes by the ton, how much ton an acre will give you. Most wines, wine grapes, we try to keep right around 5 ton per acre. If we can keep it in the 5 ton per acre, it gives more character to the fruit, thanks to that fruit that it gives you the grape that you're the things you're looking for, the desire to bring out in that the grape. So if you let it go wild and produce a lot, it tends to lessen the effects. It tends to take away from the qualities and characteristics that you're looking for. The Grenache grape is one of those. The Grenache grape is very prolific. If left to its own accord, it will throw out, you know, up to 8, 9, 10 ton per acre. So it is severely pruned in the southern Rhone region. This actually produces some magnificent wines because of the fact that it's the grapes themselves are pruned back so much, so the plant isn't putting so much effort into trying to produce so many grapes as they are putting the quality into the ones that they are producing. Instead of 5 tons, different areas of the southern Rhone cut their yield back to even 3, 3.5 tons per acre, which is a severe pruning, actually, because especially how prolific the Grenache grape is. The most common region that people are aware of is the Château Neuf du Pape, and that, let me spell that for you. That's Chateauneuf, Château Neuf du Pape, Pape. Château Neuf du Pape region is the probably the most prestigious, well-known region of the southern Rhone, of the Rhone Valley. It produced a big variety of wines. It's really quite a large region compared to some others, but not as large as some of the others in the southern Rhone region. It is noted for soft tannins, but they could be very heavy, full-bodied reds, depending on, again, on the vineyard and who's making it and how much they've cut back on it. Some of them can be aged for many, many years. Others are made to be drank right away and to just enjoy as soon as they're bottled and you get them out on the shelf. The grapes, not only the Grenache, but the Syrah and Mourvèdre are the other grapes that are authorized and used in it. And let me add something else. I said authorized. This is something, too. Only certain grapes are authorized in certain areas of France. And this is controlled by law. You can't go into Château Neuf du Pape by yourself, acreage, and plant the Cabernet Sauvignon grape and say, well, I'm going to see how this grows here, and I'm going to make some Cabernet Sauvignon. It's restricted. It is certain grapes are allowed to be grown in certain areas, and the government controls this. And so you have to grow what is designated for that area. So when you're talking about southern Rhone, you're looking at the Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre as the primary grapes. These are the ones that will grow well and give you the wines from that region. Now, you can make it in any style you want from there. You can do anything you want basically after that. And I say basically because, again, blends are controlled, and how much of certain grapes you can use and how much you can't use and all that are also laid out for certain regions and certain areas. But the three major grapes are those. The appellation Château Neuf du Pape encompasses five villages. And because of these five villages, you're going to get different types of styles. So if you get a Shantotenuf to pop from a certain village, it's going to tell you that that is the style from that region, from that village. Most of them, very aromatic flavors dominated by ripe cherry, plumminess, peppery, spiciness. And then these combinations of the Grenache, the Syrah, and Mourvèdre will give you this. This is basically what you're going to bring out in most, a cherry, black currant, blueberry, earthiness, pepperiness to most of the stuff in the southern Rhone. Next region, Gigondas. Gigondas is spelled G-I-G-O-N-D-A-S, Gigondas. And I know that's correct because I have a pronunciation here. And I also apologize to all of you out there who do know French and know these regions and know how to properly pronounce them. I don't. And so if I slaughter it, then I apologize. It is totally unintentional. I'm not trying to do it on purpose. The wines from the Gigondas region are probably the most overlooked of any of them in the southern Rhone area. Very nice wine, very nice fruity style, light, majority of them, although are full-bodied, a lot of fruit flavors, a lot of tannins, with your really pronounced aromas of black cherry, blueberry, black currant, spiciness, earthiness. And they're overlooked in the fact that not well known. The region's not well known, so people don't do it. If you're looking for a bargain, if you're looking for some great wines at a good price, try to find some from the Gigondas region. It is really nice wines, and these, again, go well with steaks, roast, duck, lamb, just about anything. You start putting heavy seasoning on it, and you've got something that will pair very well with it because of this. The next one, Bacquerus. B-A-C-Q-U-E-Y-R-A-S, Bacquerus. This is the newest appellation in the Rhone. This is just a few miles north of Gigondas, but the reds here are quite a bit different. A lot lighter, a lot fruitier overall. They do have some that are very rich, heavy, intense reds, a lot of ripe tannins. But you're going to get a much more of a fruitiness in the overall characteristics and flavors of these, even the rich ones. This is a good buy. If you are looking for some great prices for the Rhone Valley of France, the Vaucluse region is some good prices. I was checking some prices over this past week on some of this just to get an idea of what we're looking at. And substantially less than what you're going to pay for some of the others. And I can't attest to the quality. I have never had one from the Vaucluse, but everything I've read. And just recently getting an appellation, a Rhone appellation, means that they must be doing something right. So look for those. Next one, Côte du Rhône Village. And then the Côte du Rhône. I have to point out on the Côte du Rhône, this is spelled C-O-T-E-S-D-U-R-H-O-N-E, and then the lodge or village, and then the Côte du Rhône itself. Côte du Rhône, I'm sure everyone has been to the wine stores and looked on the shelf and found the Côte du Rhône wines. This is a take on this. This is a take on the Côte du Rhône. The Côte du Rhône. American-made wine. People are trying to be cute, so they use it on, pull off this this name. So the Côte du Rhône is completely different than the Côte du Rhône, nothing to do with it. It is the winery being cute and throwing out that name. This is the Côte du Rhône and the Côte du Rhône Village are the biggest plantings in southern Rhone, enormous areas. Red wines usually are made for early drinking from the Côte du Rhône, not a lot of tannins, very little tannins, actually. Dark red wine, dark fruit flavors, good aromas, a lot of nice fruity notes come out of it. So these are just nice, young, easy drinking, light, easy drinking wines with a lot of fresh fruit. The Côte du Rhône Village has 16 villages that are able to put the Côte du Rhône Village name on it. The most noted of these is the Restal, the Carignan, and the Vissan. The Côte du Rhône is, I've had quite a few different Côte du Rhônes over the years, and they really are very nice wine, dominated by the Grenache with Syrah Verde, again, blended into it. But it's just a light, fruity wine, not really expensive. The dollar is held up well against the French, well, now it's the euro. Before it switched over to the euro, the dollar held up well, and it was really a good buy. But if you're looking for some nice fruity wines, and to get away from the Australian Syrah, look for the French Côte du Rhône, the Côte du Rhône Village. Next one, the Côte du Ventoux. That's spelled Côtesdu Ventoux. That's Côte du Ventoux. I keep on getting a beep on this. Are you saying something to me, or are you getting a beep too?
Probably on Skype. But
okay.
I'm messaging.
Oh, okay. I keep hearing I'm back and forth. I'm losing myself.
Okay.
Côte du Ventoux are a lot lighter, easy drinking wines. The fresh fruit, light, soft flavors, light, soft taste, made to be consumed now, not ones to be put away. Little nuances of earthiness and spiciness, but just a pleasant, lighter style wine. The next one, the Costière de Nîmes and the Lirac. Costière de Nîmes, spelled Costière de Nîmes, and Lirac is Liric. These two regions are located, and let me look at my map here to be sure that I'm saying this right. Yes, these two regions are located right close to Spain, right? Ranging down in the areas close to Spain, and they are coming out with some great wines at a fantastic price right now. It is a cherry, plummy, raspberry fruit flavors, little hints of earthiness, spiciness. Some of them are being aged in oak and given a little bit different style than the classic Costière de Nîmes. It's and as the aged in oak, those are the Chateau Neuf de Pape style. But again, a fraction of the cost. They are just, for some reason, it's just a phenomenal buy, and people haven't discovered it yet. So a fantastic style of wine instead of wine. The Rhone white wines, we talk about reds a lot in the Rhone, and for good reason. It's most of the wines produced in the Rhone are red wines, but they do produce some white wines. And the white wines are primarily produced from the Vernier in the northern Rhone, and the Roseanne, Marsanne, and the Grenache Blanc in the south. The white wines account for about 3% of all production in the Rhone Valley. It's not well planted. It's not made a lot. Again, because of the restrictions and because of the regions and stuff, not a lot of white is used. The the white wines of the Rhone are made, I hate to say it's an afterthought, but a lot of the white wines in the Rhone region are made to be consumed young. They are not ones to be aged. They're not ones to be put away. You get them, you drink them within a year or so, and you're going to have a great wine. If you age them too much longer than that, they're going to start going bad. Voynier grape is one that can be aged, but again, those are made to be drank. A couple years after release, you should have those consumed too. The Southern Rhone, almost all the vineyards produce a little bit of white wine, and it's sort of like an afterthought. And I hate to say it that way, but it seems to be Chateauneuf du Pape, the Côte du Rhône, Costière du Nem, all produce a white wine. All of them produce white wines from the Roussanne grape is used more often than not in those regions, and they're pleasant, soft, easy drinking, fun wines. Good, not a little. A nice acid balance. Most of them do contain a little bit of acid, a little bit more acid, comparable to Chardonnays. And again, it's an excellent alternative for Chardonnay. If you're looking for something other than Chardonnays, then the Chateauneuf du Pape white wine is a great alternative to Chardonnay. The Côte du Rhône and the Costière du Nem also use the Voynier grape and the Marsan grape. And again, these are very light, nice blended wines. No oak aging on these. Drink now. Easy to drink soft red wines. The rosés coming from this area. This makes up the final 2 or 3% of the wines that are grown are made in the Southern Rhone and in the Rhone region. Delicious rosés come out there. Usually a lot of them in the dry style. The appellation of Tavel is noted for their rosés. They are very strong in red fruit flavors. A nice balance with the acid and the flavors and taste. Great wines to go with seafood, shellfish, a drier style rosé. Again, most people in this country are familiar with rosés as a white Zinfandel, which tends to be a little bit sweeter. Most of the rosés coming from this region, most of the rosés coming from the world actually, tend to be a little bit drier. There's some very high-end rosés coming from this area. They're looking at doing a little bit of aging on them and spending a little bit of time putting them together, costing a little bit more, but coming out with some very complex rosés. But as now, most of them tend to be just a lighter, softer, fruitier rosés that are just enjoyable on the back porch in one of our warm Florida summer, winter, spring, or fall days. And then one last thing here, I'll cover this, and then we'll end it on tonight and go into the south of France next week. This is the Bonne de Vannes. This is a village located in the Southern Rhone Valley, and it is noted for its dessert wine, the Muscat de Bonne de Vannes. This is the made with the Muscat grape. It's a sweet wine made as a dessert, not with, but as a dessert. A very sweet wine. It gives you strong peachy, apricot, honey flavors. I like a real heavy floral aroma out of it. It is sweet, but not syrupy, sugary sweet. When you get German ice wines or ice wine from around the world, the most of them tend to be a heavier syrupy type sweetness. The wines, the Muscat de Bonnes de Vinesse is not. It is nice, light, fruity, not syrupy. Something like our Plantation Spice, nice sweet dessert wine also along that style. So those are the Rhone region of France. Next week we'll go into the south of France and cover the south of France and the lower river. I'll say soon. So a couple more weeks and we'll be done with France. So,
wow.
Big region, a lot of stuff and some great wines. But
a lot of wine comes out of France somehow.
A lot of wine comes out of France.
Yeah.
And this little small area has produced a lot of wine. That's why it was rocked the wine world when a few years ago a California wine actually did take number one in the blind tasting against a French wine because it was something that had never been heard of before. So, but some great wines coming out of France, some good prices, some very expensive wines. People I think are apprehensive, are afraid of French wines simply because they don't understand them. They don't know what they're looking for. They don't understand the villages. They don't understand the regions. They don't understand the appellations. And so a lot of people do stay away from the French wines because of that. And it's really a shame because it is quite simple to understand a lot of the stuff about French wines and to find yourself some excellent French wines at some excellent prices and that will you'll go back again and again and continue getting them. So,
All right.
So,
very cool.
That's it for tonight on the French wine of the Lower Valley.
Right. Oh, wow. But they're still outside. It's dark outside. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. It's all of a sudden just got dark. I mean, you know.
Yeah, we have tiki torches lit outside, and those are good for about an hour and a half or so. So.
By that time, they should be on the way home anyway.
Yeah, exactly. we have, about 7 minutes remaining, and I wanted to get through events coming up at the Florida State's Winery. We have the location details, contact information, all that's coming up towards the end here on our outro thing, whatever. But October 17th, mark your calendars, is the next wine festival. Wine festival is excellent. You have to go there, visit the winery, and you can go to the website, which the website information, all that's coming up. But for pictures and everything, go to the events section, and you'll see the events and everything that they have there. But wine festival is excellent. It's great. It's year round, but I really like it during this time, especially when it starts getting a little bit cooler. But it's always cool underneath those giant oak trees. It's always great underneath there. I guess we start getting into that time again towards the end of the year, and it's really cool. But you have to check out the wine festival October 17th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. There are vendors there. I don't know if you're going to have. Are you having the food provided again? Is there
I believe so. I think so. We sent out emails to the food vendors vendors, and we haven't gotten them back yet. I was just thinking we haven't heard from Gold Canyon Candles in quite some time too.
Yeah.
We need to get back out there.
Okay, we'll see what happens there.
Okay,
you can. It's a great location, and there's plenty of parking there. And if you subscribe to the free email newsletter, which comes out like every other week or so, you'll get details on events. There's recipes, there's wine facts, there's all kinds of information in the email newsletter. It's a great newsletter, and you definitely want to subscribe to that when you go to their website. And the wine festival October 17th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern time. You're in the area near State Road 52 or anywhere in the Tampa Bay area or anywhere on this side of Florida or the other side. You're taking a trip over here, definitely check it out and visit the winery as well. So while you're there. Great location, and like I said, plenty of parking, plenty of shade underneath the oak trees, and it's just a great time. We don't have any wine tasting classes coming up, Soon?
We're looking at bowling soon, though.
Okay.
I didn't schedule a class because we're going to be doing a bowling probably the end of this month. I've been checking on the grapes and all that,
okay,
and the fruits and everything. They are almost ready to be bottled. They're getting very, very close. And so I didn't want to schedule a class and then have a bowling step in there because, you know, when the wine says it's ready, it's ready. So,
yeah.
we didn't schedule one this month. And, so probably we'll have our next class in November. We're looking, with Thanksgiving in there, we're moving into the holiday season here and, but we will get one scheduled. So again, to repeat what you just said, Mike, get on our website and subscribe to our newsletter, and we will be keeping you posted on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, if you have a group and you're looking for something cool to do, also contact the winery for that. They do group tours, and they have special deals for you, and you definitely want to check that out as well. And, of course, weddings and event receptions, and you have a wedding coming up. Was it this weekend?
This Saturday, yeah.
Wow.
In a couple of days. We have Danielle and William are going to be married. And we're looking forward to that. That should be exciting.
Yeah, definitely. And congratulations to the couple. And
yes.
We're going to have great weather this weekend. Everything's looking good down there. So yeah.
And we're going to be putting some pictures of the wedding on to the Facebook. So join us on Facebook and check out a couple of the pictures in there too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And let's see, we lost what I was IMing you earlier was we had a Skype call. Stefan. Was contacting us through Skype, and it went to voicemail. So I turned off voicemail. I don't know why it was on, but usually I shut it off before the show. And then shortly after that, 1,000 mics disconnected. So I don't know what happened. We lost the connection to 1,000 mics during the program. So I'm going to figure out what happened there, if it was a button on this end or what. But it's kind of hard to hit that little red button up there to disconnect the call, but something happened.
Yeah.
I don't know. That should be, I mean, I don't know where it disconnected, but we had some listeners on 1,000 mics, and they can catch it on the replays. And
we apologize
to you
for
happened. Yep, unfortunately. And everything else is still going. We're still on Blog Talk Radio. We have about 2 minutes left. I have the outro to cover real quick, so it has all the contact information and all our details. And we'll see everybody next week, Thursday, same day of the week at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Be sure to join us in case you're listening to the archives. It's every Thursday, 7 p.m. And we have all the details on the winery and the show coming up in a second. The winery is open daily 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. located in Land O'Lakes, Florida. All that is coming up right now. Ron, thank you. And it's a
and
great
cheers, show. Everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and raise the glasses.
Yeah.
Toast, cheers. And
cheers.
We'll see you all next weekend. And
see you next week.
Yep, we're out. And I'll play this now. Here we go.
This concludes our call-in talk show for the evening. Special thank you to Ron Hunt of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Visit the winery online at www.floridaestateswines.com. That's WINES.com. Email address for the winery is corp@floon.com. That's corp@FLEWN.com. Or call area code 813-996-2113. If you're in the area, Florida Estates Winery is located 4 miles west of Interstate 75 on State Road 52. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. For information on our show and music stream, visit us on our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/ChicoDog1. That's DAWG and the number 1. Email address is podcast@ChicoDog.com. Follow the show on Twitter at twitter.com/MikeWCFL. WCFL as in Wesley Chapel, Florida. If you have a topic you would like to discuss on air, please contact me. Chico Dog Live is a weekly talk show hosted on Blog Talk Radio. We encourage our listeners to participate in our online chat room or call us on air at 646-727-3600. 3235 and tell your friends and family about us. This episode will be available as a free download on iTunes and our Blog Talk Radio show page. Thank you for listening to the program. We'll see you next week on Chico Dog Live.
Wow, that was great timing.
That was great timing.
Started on the other one. Next here.